You're listening to the best of Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. When the Sacramento City Council voted in May of this year to repeal the law supporting Japanese internment during World War II, it caught the attention of the registrar of the Crocker Art Museum, John Caswell. He was watching TV, and here's what happened as the city council meeting was on television.
And I heard some of the people speaking, giving their comments, and knowing that I had some of the documentation that was part of the background of that period of their lives, I immediately brought it back up to attention at the museum that, you know, I have these. I even have more than you think I have because I keep locating more.
And describe the kind of documentation you were going through.
Well, it started by going through an old file of loans to the museum, and normally those are loans for exhibition or some other purpose, and therefore they're sort of related to a time period and an exhibition. And I started to come across this document that had old stationery. It's the E.B. Crocker Art Gallery at the time. And I noticed that in red at the top of these pages were names written, and they were all Japanese names. And as soon as I pulled one and read down the paragraph and read that first statement in there, that was a real, to put it politely, an oh my God moment that I said by myself in a storeroom.
It's the document is in front of you. Could you read a little bit, please?
Well, it is, the document is a memorandum of understanding, basically, and it's not far from our contemporary agreements, but it is a memorandum between the Crocker Art Gallery and these people who were putting objects into the possession of the Crocker. And it mentions, the memorandum mentions the name of the person and the family and their address and what the objects were. And it says that it is agreed between, and in this case it's Henry Sugimoto, the artist, that the above listed items are accepted for storage without charge during the conditions arising from the war between Japan and the United States, more particularly the enforced removal of the Japanese from the Sacramento area.
Do you have any idea how the communication happened that the Crocker reached out or connected to families and said, we will store your possessions?
No, that's something I'd really like to find out. I would assume that through the community word got out. That's my guess. I have not had opportunity to go and look through the SACB archives and see if there were articles posted. This isn't a tremendous amount of objects. There's maybe 400 pieces, the majority being works from Mr. Sugimoto. But it is a considerable amount of local objects from people who did not want to see their possessions gone entirely.
And there were other kinds of things, kimonos and dolls.
Mostly objects that one would have had around the house, perhaps that were passed down, tea service objects, Buddhist shrines, kimonos, a lot of dolls, and figurines, carvings, some contemporary works by artists that I don't know. I have not had time to do any research, a painting, for instance, of Lake Merritt. So that would have happened sometime, previous to the war. All sorts of objects.
And then is the rest of the story there about what happened when World War II ended and families were returned home? Then what happened to the possessions?
Well, the possessions started arriving in April of 1942. And for some, there were some... It seems that the War Relocation Authority started to pay for shipping some of these objects right away. And so some people decided to start having their objects shipped right away. So there were receipts that left within 6 months. The majority of the work seemed to have lasted throughout the war, 45 through 49. And there are some letters back and forth about where to send them to other locations. A lot of people seem not to have come back to Sacramento. And there's also documents from the camps themselves because the internees had to get approval for these shipments, and they had notarized documents and things like that. So there's lots of names, lots of places from the camps, from Heart Mountain, from Tule Lake, from Jerome and Rower in Arkansas.
And everything was returned except for...
One plant stand that may have gone to another member, a friend, on their behalf, but I can't prove exactly where that was.
But the record keeping is so thorough that everything is accounted for, even the plant stand going to a different family member.
I only
member.
Hope my record keeping is as good.
You're listening to John Caswell. He is the registrar at the Crocker Art Museum in Sacramento. And you've been in this position or an assistant registrar position at museums in L.A., the J. Paul Getty Museum, the Lannan Foundation. Do you believe they, too, had holdings or storage opportunities for families during World War II, or is this unique?
I'm not sure that many museums did this sort of thing, and I would like to certainly find out if that's true. I would hope that would happen. But for instance, why Henry Sugimoto would choose the Crocker, I mean, he lived in southern San Joaquin Valley, and he had exhibited in San Francisco and Oakland. So the idea that maybe their word had gone out that Crocker was doing this is true.
Let's talk about his work. And this collection was about 250 paintings?
Yes. In terms of his sending them to the museum, they arrived in two cases. It says just approximately 250 paintings, so they weren't opened and inventoried. And eventually he wrote a letter from Arkansas asking that they be shipped to New York City, where he was going to be going. And in fact, he did move to New York City after the war with his family and lived there till 1990.
And that's when he passed away.
That's when
so
he
had received
away.
His painting.
Oh, he had received his painting a long time ago.
But there's an irony with the Crocker Art Museum having an exhibit of his work, right?
Yes. In 2002, we were lucky enough to host an exhibition that was organized by the Japanese American National Museum in Los Angeles of the life and work of Henry Sugimoto. So in 2002, I became familiar firsthand with the paintings of Henry, paintings of the camps, paintings of California, because he traveled around California. And I also at that time met many docents and people who came to volunteer to give talks in the galleries. So I had this knowledge of Henry's art, and when I actually found a document that said that they had actually, some of these works had probably been at the Crocker many years before, it was just amazing.
There aren't photos of these items. They weren't chronicled with any kind of sketching or drawing?
No, nothing like that at all. There's just the physical files, which of course are rather fascinating because they're old-fashioned on old-fashioned paper and they're carbon copies and there's onion skin paper and little notes and receipts from shipping companies that no longer exist.
And you've had communication with Henry Sugimoto's daughter?
Well, as soon as I found these, because it was not known where exactly Henry's works had been stored during the war, I made a scan of all the documents pertaining to Henry, and I sent them by mail to Madeline, his daughter, who still lives in New York City. And at the time, I asked her if I should be sharing this with the Japanese American National Museum, since they hold much of his archives. And she had them contacting me almost immediately, so she must have been quite excited to receive this.
What's your sense of what's unfolding here?
There is a little bit more to be gleaned from what we have, and I just think that it's part of the story with the city council vote sort of rectifying something that the city had done many years ago by people long, long gone, that there's another side of the city, the Crocker Art Gallery, that actually stepped forward and tried to do something good for the community. We are a big part of the community, and I think that's where our place is.
Well, I appreciate that you started to tell the story here, and I look forward to hearing more of it as you uncover more of the documentation and continue the communication. Would you do that?
Certainly, absolutely.
John Caswell, he is registrar of Sacramento's Crocker Art Museum. He's still looking for pieces to the puzzle. Maybe you have one. We have posted a link to the Crocker Museum, along with some photos of the documents and more about Henry Sugimoto. It's all at capradio.org/insight. This is the Best of Insight on Capital Public Radio. And just ahead, Jarrett Heather working with Weird Al Yankovic. We'll be right back.